The following podcast occurs in real time.
Welcome to the David Palmer Presidential Library, where we discuss 24 Legacy, Season 1, Episode 12. And I'm the host, Chris Lorenz. Sitting to my right is...
Brian Houston.
Sitting to my left...
Harrison Hoffman.
Sitting to his left...
Robert Kitts.
Sitting across from me is...
Max.
That doesn't even have the energy to come up with a nickname.
All right.
Okay. Does anyone have any plugs?
It's a little early for that.
I'm not sure about that, man.
I don't think I've ever been more disappointed in a season finale.
You haven't watched Dexter then, have you?
I've watched Dexter.
At
least something happens in those.
What about the series finale of Lost? How do you feel about that?
Like,
they were trying.
I was angry, but here I'm just like maybe just not most disappointed, but like most bored.
I'm just stunned. Stunningly
boring.
It was great because like I was sort of watching the clock and I was thinking to myself, I can't believe this is how they're ending it. Then they show the timer and I go, what an ending. And I look around and all the rest of you are like, that wasn't the ending, was it? It was so funny. Like it's such a, why do they think that was a good idea?
Oh my gosh. why did they think that was a good idea sums up this entire show.
Well, we thought that it had potential. We thought the idea of 24 Legacy was a good idea. The execution was a little lacking.
Agreed.
First, like, two episodes, we're like, oh, this has potential. You know, a couple more episodes, yeah, it still might have potential. And then they killed off Insanity High School. And it's been downhill ever since.
That was undoubtedly the turning point.
They had a couple decent episodes after they blew up Insanity High School.
For sure.
Because like the episode with Isaac and the shotgun was after that. And we were all pretty pumped with that episode.
There's been a couple good scenes, I think.
Yeah.
Then I listened to our podcast. We were very positive about that episode.
Okay. All right. But man... They're closing these terrorist plot holes so badly.
Just terrorist plot holes. All the plot
holes.
It's all garbage.
It's all garbage at the end of this thing. I can't believe it.
I can say about this episode is they ended all the plot lines. Like, it was just written to just close stuff up. That's it.
For me, it seems like the writers are like, yeah, we're not getting another season. Might as well just end this without even a a way to continue the show.
The only thing that's left hanging is the president thing. He's like, oh, I guess I'm going to run for president now. Smits.
We didn't see Andy and his boyfriend. That's still left
you
hanging.
You think that's still hanging?
I think that's hanging.
I think that's over.
Over with closure.
Aisha, we don't know what happened to Aisha.
Aisha's in the wind. Who knows?
Aisha is the big bad for season 2.
I hope so. That would be great.
That Super Bowl commercial just with Aisha. And everyone's like, I'm back.
It turns into The Wire and 24, and it's just about Isaac.
Again?
No, it's just about Isaac. Isaac is
What do you mean
character.
It's just about Isaac? They didn't have Isaac either the last two episodes.
I can't believe Isaac was not in the finale.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. They bring the wife in, but not have Isaac in the room?
I think he's the breakout star.
If there's a season 2, there's no Isaac. I think that's what they're hinting. They bring back Eric. They bring back the wife. They bring back the CTU people. And they bring back Smits. And maybe even Papa Organa, as unbelievable as that is.
I feel like you fire the whole writing team and you throw this away and you call, you know, start 24 series 3.
Legacy.
What would you call the third series?
I got one. I want Chris to give one first.
Oh, man. 48, and then you have it like...
Oh, it goes all year.
You have multiple time skips that goes over 2 days.
Oh, wow. So you're just totally changing the whole show now.
A little bit, you know. I feel like you got to distance yourself from the season, like, a lot.
It's not great. Like... The legacy brand should be done.
What if they call the next one 24 The Next Legacy?
Oh boy.
Who's going to star in that one?
Patrick Stewart.
I would like definitely watch that.
I feel like you bring the girl back from 24 Live Another Day.
Kate. Yeah, you could bring back Kate.
Kate was a really solid agent.
We should have looked up. Is she on some other TV show now? So she is not available?
She's Miranda Lawson in Mass Effect 2.
Really?
100%.
Wow. That's out of nowhere.
That's not a TV show.
I mean, when we talked, when we started this season, we talked about bringing this, you know, real time thing to other like kinds of shows.
Yeah.
I feel like they got to do something like that. Like, ignore this like terrorist plot. Like, I don't know, maybe now it's still more just as prescient, but like it's got to be done way better.
I'd love to see like a noir era like detective thing that's in real time.
Yeah, right? So I'd love to see some of these some other direction to take this real time thing in. Like instead of doing a 24 thing, you'd call it something else.
That's an interesting idea. I like that.
I totally agree. Like I think I think there's two ways to look at 24. Look at 24 as it's a action terrorist catching show. We're looking at 24, it's a real time show. And 24 Legacy clearly did not care one bit about a real time show because there was zero attempt to keep the real time continuity. But they thought it was like, oh, this is like a terrorist catching show. And you go the other way. You say, this is a real time show. Let's put real time in some other context that's interesting. And I think there's potential there.
Yeah. If I was like Fox and 24 producer, like 24 producers or whatever, I'm like, oh, let's take this 24 real time show to something else.
What about sort of a 24 real time West Wing? Maybe call it Designated Survivor.
But it's not in real time.
Why not?
Because nothing would have happened.
They got to do an episode of Designated Survivor that's in real time.
Oh my gosh. Just one episode?
Yeah. When they got to juice the ratings season 2 premiere, be like, season 2 premiere is in real time.
Do you steal the clock idea? Just steal have a completely different...
But like, so 24 the yellow clock, Legacy of the blue clock, they've come up with another color clock. It's so innovative.
It definitely seems like the more they go with Designated Survivor, the less it is like 24 and the more it is like the West Wing.
I feel like it swings on a pendulum. Like one episode will be a lot more about like the mole and the plot and the terrorist stuff. And the other side will be like, oh, Kiefer's got to get this thing pushed through.
I just think that they're trying to just get the terrorist stuff out of the way because it was just like it's an insane show because like this whole terrorist thing, I think it's just like a way to introduce Kiefer as the president.
It's the whole premise, but you can't do like 100 episodes about the fact that Congress got blown up.
I don't know. They keep dragging it out. There's like they close one thing, but it like leads to another thing, and like.
Well, as someone who's seen 4 episodes of Designated Survivor, I'm gonna say I can see a world where they drag it out for the first season, wrap it up in the season 1 finale, and season 2 it's just the West Wing.
I can definitely see that.
I mean, I could see that, but it would be. I don't think the writing is good enough to be the West Wing.
Like it's this interesting idea of like, what if somebody who is like an independent was president and what could they do? But like they had to create a situation to explain the reason how that person became president.
Sure.
So you know what I mean?
Yeah. I see what you're saying, but like, I feel like this premise was like, oh, what if we do have a designated survivor and he becomes president? Mm-hmm. What interesting things could we do with that? Mm-hmm. But then once like you have the house and all this stuff, it just becomes he's the president, and it's just all the interesting things about it are over.
Right.
How do you continue it? I guess, you know, he could be an independent, but at some point he can't be president anymore.
What about you said house? What about a real time doctor show?
I could totally see that,
like a case
an hour in the ER or something.
Yeah, but like
I have trouble seeing how you sustain that for like 20 episodes.
Me too.
I mean, you could do the ER and have each episode be a different hour, not contiguous hours.
So I think maybe I'd like to see like one episode of a bunch of different shows done with this concept, but maybe not a bunch of shows.
Ooh,
with the real-time
an anthology
concept.
Show. Now we're talking.
Oh, yeah.
Those are expensive, though. Maybe like a Netflix kind of thing.
I'm just saying like one episode of a bunch of different shows.
He's saying he just wants to see
Hospital, fireman, like you want to see ER, like you want to see all that kind of stuff. But that requires different sets and like stuff.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's
I'm not saying
expensive.
Someone's going to make a show where every episode is a different real-time situation. That'd be insane, but really expensive probably.
I mean,
Netflix
that would be great,
could do it.
Yeah, Netflix could do it.
Netflix got money.
Basically, they would just get somebody to direct every different one.
Quick thing. So Yvonne Stravinsky, who is Kate, is in something called The Handmaid's Tale, which premieres Wednesday, April 26th.
Handmaid's Tale, but yes.
Handmaid's Tale is the IMDb name for it.
Wow. My life is a lie right now.
And this description says pretty nuts. Set in a dystopian future, a woman is forced to live as a concubine under a fundamentalist theocratic dictatorship.
Wow.
Yeah.
What is it on? Where?
Who else is in it?
A lot of people in it, so it's probably on a streaming thing. IMDb doesn't really say where it's on, but it's unclear if it's a limited series or if this is an ongoing thing and Kate's just not in the mix to do some other TV show.
Gotcha.
So it's based off a book, so it's probably like just a one season thing.
Guys, you know how good the finale of this show, even podcasting about all season, was? We just don't want to talk about it at all.
I was just going to say
that. It's horrible.
Yeah, none of us want to talk about this finale, which we'll probably have to get to at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, there was one part of it that would be pretty interesting to talk about. The Tony fight.
Oh, yeah. The fight that no one's been waiting for. Tony versus Eric.
It's on Hulu. This show's on Hulu.
This show's on Hulu. Okay.
All right. Let's not put The Handmaid's Tale.
Okay.
That's another podcast.
All right. Does somebody want to speed through our for this episode?
I'll speed through what happened at the farmhouse because I actually said what was going to happen before it happened. So Eric's in the house. There's the girl in the house. There's the woman that Eric tied up still alive in the house. And then there's Tony, Aisha 2, and two red shirts. So what obviously happens is Eric takes out the two red shirts. He actually manages to slightly injure both Aisha 2 and Tony. They get the upper hand on him and viciously murder the woman who was tied up in what was... If the rest of the episode had been like that, that was a pretty entertaining part.
Here's the thing.
Kill the weak.
At the time, I was like, that's stone cold. Didn't even give a thought to it. But now, after kind of seeing how the rest of the episode played out, that was a loose end that needed to be tied up in order for Jimmy Smith to become president.
Yeah.
The person who was guarding the daughter that they had kidnapped.
Oh, yeah.
Who just got
she's
iced
kneeling
by Tony.
And she's trying to message to Eric. And she might have been trying to be like, Eric, I will help you. Untie me. And then just... Eric dodges a bunch of bullets and she just gets like 8 bullets to the chest.
Yeah.
So
tied up.
So Tony and Aisha 2 have the drop on Eric. It's literally unclear why they haven't already killed him. And like, they're just kind of like nodding back and forth. And Tony's like, yeah, do it. And Tony gets a call from Jimmy Smits because Andy hacked the phone. And Jimmy Smits is like, Tony, stop what you're doing. And then he plays the Rebecca card. This is the only way to save Rebecca is for you to let Eric go and walk away.
And Tony doesn't really ask a lot of questions about how this is going to save Rebecca, because I don't think that he knows about her situation.
He definitely does not.
So, like, he's not like, I mean, how does this help? I mean...
Tony's very trusting.
They tease earlier in the season that Tony and her had a thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is the only reason that happened.
I get it. I mean, Tony might be... I'm not sure if Tony's very trusting, but... I don't know. Just seems like...
And Aisha 2, I thought Aisha 2 was going to put up more of a fight. And Tony's just like, we're leaving. And she just like walks out after him.
Yep.
Well, they already got paid, so she doesn't give a fuck.
Oh, she definitely cares that Tony is still burning this candle for Rebecca and not just being all good with Aisha 2.
Sure. I mean, that's fair. But at least they got paid.
They did get paid. But when Tony gets paid, he always finishes the job.
And he did not finish the job this time.
It hurts future employment.
Yeah. Luckily, not a lot of people know that he didn't finish the job.
I still want to know how he got out of jail. I want to know.
We saw it in solitary. What do you
mean? I cannot believe that they didn't explain that fucking shit. Are you kidding me? Like they take the time to make some short that they put on the Blu-ray for the previous season
and use it for commercials,
and then they don't even like pay off like how that even happened. It's so crazy.
They're saving it for season 2.
I can't believe that wasn't even in season 1.
I gotta disagree with you guys. I think how he got out was very straightforward. They needed some guy to, you know, just take care of this shit. So they did.
You think if you broke that guy out of jail to help CTU and be a black agent, black. You wouldn't just, you would keep a leash
on
him.
Stop being racist.
Like, here's the, like, here's the thing. Someone like Rebecca, like, working with that bald, like, national intelligence guy.
Donald Sims.
That guy, Sims. They could have just gotten Tony out of jail. They could have spent, like, we need to take this guy to some black site. We're taking him out of here and just had him work for him. They wanted to, right? They need to, like, orchestrate this insane breakout. Like,
yeah, it was pretty.
So why did they need this insane breakout?
Because the people that wrote and filmed that were not the people that did season one of 24 Legacy.
Oh, definitely. They're like, how can we sell a couple more Live Another Day Blu-rays?
I mean, they sold,
and it
at
sold
least one
to us.
Fuck.
How have we not managed to get anyone involved with this show and this podcast to answer any of these questions? We have to know.
Have we tried?
Yeah, I was going to say lack of effort, lack of money.
You got to reach out on Twitter.
Got to reach out.
I think you may need something more than Twitter to reach out. Might need a little bit more of an orchestrated campaign.
Probably.
Don't worry about it.
All right. So let's go through the show. So Smits tells the director what's going on. Because the director comes to after the pistol whip. The director's like, no. If that girl dies, I'll get away with it. There's no hard evidence. And he also tells him that it's going to be bad for Rebecca, too, because she had a big part in all this stuff. So then they start, the terrorists start the live feed of them going to execute Rebecca. And, you know, Two-Face is there, some red shirts are there, and off-screen is Nasiri. And so Eric just asks the daughter, hey, do you know your dad's old phone number? And of course, he still has that phone right on him in the middle of this live broadcast.
Yeah, because like, that's a smart thing for a terrorist to have.
And he gets a call from an unknown number. It's like, let me take this call real quick in the middle of this execution live broadcast. I get an unknown call and I'm not doing anything. I don't answer that phone. Why is he answering that phone?
So are you sure that that's what happened? Because I thought that like CTU was trying to track down like this Nasiri guy's phone so they can make contact with him because they knew that the situation with his daughter was happening.
So
because
they say they have no way to contact him. Then Eric says, I got an idea. Goes daughter and says,
oh God,
let me ask you something. They cut to the scene with the terrorists and then Nasiri's phone rings.
Yeah.
So the phone said private on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it said private. Because
she's calling from Eric's fucking phone.
Right. Right. And it's just
Eric is not in Nasiri's contacts.
All right. So, do you think if it was CTU agent, he would have picked up the phone, or he would have let that to go to voicemail?
I don't know, if my phone says CTU agent, I'm like, oh, maybe I should answer this.
I was surprised that he picked up that phone at all. Because, okay, like they're literally in the middle of this insane execution, which they've been working up to forever, and like it's happened
for
right,
like the last 2 hours.
Like it's no, well, not even like yeah, forever.
Well.
Theoretically, like this Rebecca person has been like an enemy of them for a long time.
That's
right?
True.
It's been working towards this for a while, and a moment is here, and the dude's phone is ringing. It's not even a number that's in his phone, and he decides to pick it up. If I'm in a meeting at work that doesn't matter at all, and my phone rings with a private number, I don't even pick it up in that meeting. Like, how is he picking it up in this moment?
So the only things.
Oh, go ahead.
The only possible explanation I could think of is that he has one number, like he has a dual SIM phone. He has one number that's constantly a burner number, constantly changing. And two, it's his old phone number that for some reason that showed up on his phone. He's like, oh, I haven't heard anybody from this number. Why would I? Let's pick it up.
That's as good an explanation as I can think of.
It's insane.
But I'm also not paid by Fox, so I'm going to say that they didn't do jack shit.
So I think the comparison to like, being called in the middle of a meeting is a little different because like this you can very easily just like walk off to the side. It's not a big deal.
Dude, you want to be watching this thing. So
he was just, you know, he was listing off all her supposed crimes and all that jazz. I'm just saying, like,
it could have been like a 2 hour thing, you know. You got to build up to it so you get the audience to come.
It wasn't a 2 hour thing because they wanted him to execute her a minute later.
It was
happening right then, and he was the one that had to do the execution.
Yeah, so he had the knife, so he was the one who was actually going to execute her.
Like, at any moment, Two-Face is going to turn and be like, hey, come on in with that knife.
Two-Face is a preacher. He can preach as long as he needs to. B.
Like, stretch it, Two-Face.
B, like, maybe it was one of his friends from terrorist Snapchat just calling him up to say congratulations, you finally got her.
Yeah, could be.
You know, I
you call after the job's done, Max. Come on.
I think it's a very reasonable possibility.
All right, let's move along here.
So Nasiri talks to his daughter for the first time in 2 years or however long it's been. Then Eric gets on the phone and is like, you got to let Rebecca go or you'll never see your daughter again. I found her. I can hide her again. So Nasiri hangs up, walks out into the middle of the execution. It's his time to execute Rebecca. Puts the knife in the throat and then just turns around, stabs the red shirts, shoots a bunch of people, knocks over the camera, tells Eric, and listens to the camera, all right, Mr. Carter, let's do this, and then cuts the feed. So A, Eric Carter is now internet famous. He's been super called famous. Out on a live stream terrorist assassination video. What is the culture around who is this Mr. Carter the terrorist was talking about?
I think that this will probably be bad for his long-term CTU career. Because now he can't infiltrate any criminal organizations because everyone knows who he is.
Nobody's seen his picture, though. I think this actually sets it up for season two. Because now it's going to be like, okay, I'm related to this person. I'm going to go find this Eric Carter person.
Or he becomes VP.
VP Eric Carter?
VP Eric Carter?
Oh, yeah.
What has he done to justify being a CTU agent, let alone being VP?
He just gets the... He is for just for the votes.
I don't know what the age requirement is for VP.
It's 35.
Well, it's definitely 35 for president. It's 35 for VP?
It's you can't be VP if you're not eligible to be president.
Oh, gotcha.
Because right. That's kind of the VP's most
that
important
makes sense.
Job.
So maybe, sure. Maybe no Eric Carter. Maybe
but
not.
What if
maybe
you're
no.
The designated survivor?
Designated survivor, I'm not sure how that works.
There's definitely not age requirements for cabinet positions.
But I think it might be that if you're in the cabinet, you can't be like, you can't take over. That, you know, in a designated survivor situation, you can't
ooh,
be a designated survivor.
I don't know.
Because there was a thing when in the 90s when Madeleine Albright was something. It was like, oh, she actually isn't in the line of succession because she wasn't born in the U.S.
Huh.
Right.
So I think it might work the
well,
same way.
Well, I feel
way.
Like that's a pretty stringent requirement, whereas I feel like the age is a little more fungible.
It's all... If it, you care about the Constitution, it's all Constitution. Very clear in the Constitution what the rules are.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all definitely right. True. Anyway.
So Nasiri and Eric plan this insane trade where CTU sends Keith and Andy ex-boyfriend, who's back on the scene, in a helicopter. Apparently Andy ex-boyfriend can fly helicopter, which we didn't know.
It might as well be anyone sitting there because it's not important.
It's so irrelevant. He's
yeah.
Actually, wasn't he in a helicopter when that Gabriel situation was unfolding?
Gabriel?
I do not remember at all. It's quite
who's
possible.
Gabriel?
Gabriel was known as Mufasa on this podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. Still not ringing any bells.
Do you remember Eric and dealer? Ben going to see some arms dealer
oh,
who then
yeah.
kills Ben?
Yeah.
That guy.
Man, it gotcha. Is amazing how inconsequential all of that was.
Yeah, you remember when we cared about that homeless guy who stole that thumb drive? That was crazy.
Random
when
things.
I heard you were homeless, bro.
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 Random thing came up. So on a previous episode of the podcast, I was looking at IMDb, and it said, whatever the actor, Ben Grimes / Richard Grimes. And I thought it meant that there was going to be a secret twin oh. situation. And I said the podcast, I think I just got a spoiler from this IMDb.
Whoa.
And you guys are like, oh, it's Chloe? And I'm like, no. And then it turned out that was just some IMDb screw
I remember
up.
That.
Wow.
I remember that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I was waiting for Richard Grimes to roll in. Didn't happen.
That would have been the dumbest plot development possible if that guy's secret twin came back around.
I feel like that would have been beer fest. Just like, oh, yeah. We got this twin that's exactly the same.
At landfill.
But no, he's not homeless. He's like super clean cut. He's like wearing a suit. He's just like, oh yeah, I'm Richard Grimes, a successful businessman.
I feel like Ben, they're just assuming Ben is his nickname, I guess. Villain name? I don't know.
I don't know what happened. I didn't look into it. I just know that now it just is Ben Grimes, but at one point it said Ben / Richard.
I have 100% watched a TV show where some character dies, but then their cousin is introduced a couple episodes later and it's played by the same actor actress.
It's almost as good as in The Room when halfway through the movie one character, the actor that's playing them just changes and they don't address it.
crappy off-brand Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, that's right. The psychiatrist.
I mean, they do that in The Flash a lot.
Oh,
they get alternate timelines. They bring they killed one character and he comes back the next season, but from a different timeline.
Wow.
To be fair, good TV shows also switch actors out for the same character, such as Game of Thrones.
Yeah, sure.
Not for major characters, but for like minor characters, you kind of don't realize they're the same, different
people. Yeah,
but.
Yeah, it's true.
So Eric.
Oh man.
So this trade mix. So the plan is, Keith and Andy X boyfriend fly a helicopter to Eric, pick up the daughter, take her to the Jordanian embassy. Then Eric drives to some location where Andy gives Nasir satellite access to see Eric's alone. Then after the daughter is safe in the embassy, Nasir gives Rebecca over, which is just so complex and makes no sense.
Yeah. Yep. That's a tough exchange.
Also, when she's at the embassy, what is the incentive for the terrorist to give up?
Zero. He's a terrorist.
That's
the second
problem.
The daughter is safe, Rebecca gets a double tap to the head.
Easily. That's the problem with the plan, for sure.
There's like no way to do this plan, really.
No.
Except for like a face-to-face handoff.
Has to be a face-to-face handoff. There's no other way.
The crazy thing is that like it almost worked, I guess, because Nasiri is an idiot. Like, I don't really know why, but, like, it almost worked if...
Well, it gets into bad writing and not being true to the character they introduced 3 episodes ago. Everything we know about him, this did not fit.
Right.
Well, yeah. I mean, he did give up a lot of terrorists for his daughter.
Yeah, he shot, like, 3 dudes.
Like, based on what we knew about Nasiri before this episode, he just cuts Rebecca's throat and is just like, that's what you get. I think my daughter's already dead. The cause is more important than that.
But in like, and indefinitely, once he sees that she's safe in the embassy, he would have shot her.
Oh, for sure.
And it's surprising that he doesn't. But.
But then apparently, he'd handcuffed Two-Face to a chair, but not checked that there wasn't a gun right literally 6 inches from that chair.
Just on the ground, like underneath the chair.
So as soon as Rebecca starts walking to Eric, Two-Face shoots Nasir. Two-Face shoots at Eric and Rebecca. Rebecca gets hit. And then Eric kills Nasir. Finally. Or no,
and
Eric kills Bin Khalid. Two-Face.
I think Eric... Well, I think that Eric kills everybody, right?
I thought
no.
Two-Face killed Nasir.
Two-Face killed Nasir.
Oh, he did?
Okay. Yeah, Two-Face.
Okay.
Eric just kills Two-Face.
Gotcha.
Who he was supposed to have killed years ago. At least we finally can say he finally got something done.
And the net effect of the situation is that they should just drone strike the place.
Oh, easily.
Like, it's crazy. You know?
Yeah. Just like Donald Sims, who they tried to set up as the super bad guy now, all season we've been like, this is a very reasonable guy. This guy seems to know what's up. I'm on team Donald.
I still think he's the most reasonable guy, except for the whole, like, kidnapping that girl part. That's not great.
That's not great.
I mean, like, he went too far.
I have a hard time believing our government wouldn't do that.
I'm not saying that our government wouldn't do that. I'm saying it's not great.
It's definitely not great, but, like, put Donald Sims' decisions this season against some of the other characters' decision-making.
Like,
no question.
Anyone else's?
I think Donald Sims comes out pretty good.
And at least that little girl didn't end up dead is the other thing.
That is true.
I mean...
Man, when they were about to hand her off to the embassy, and it was like, they're setting up, like, maybe there's going to be, like, a sniper shot to get the little girl.
Yeah.
That was actually, like, a good moment.
Yeah,
I was actually like, is the show actually going to do this?
There was no chance that they were going to show a little girl getting sniped on primetime Fox.
Could have been off screen.
I can't imagine. That'd be insane.
Not on a... They would need a better show than this to have the guts to do that.
Yeah. And probably not on Fox.
Probably not on Fox?
Pretty serious.
You never know.
You never know. I don't know. Has a child ever died?
I'm not even sure if you can show that.
Before?
I feel like yes.
What about Amira?
SVU might have had something.
Amira counts.
Amira counts.
There
She's
you
like
go.
16.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, there might be rules around like what you can show, like on network TV with that kind of stuff. I'm not really sure, but
you could definitely show her like just dropping. You probably can't show her actually getting shot.
Like, you couldn't show the shot that they showed of the person whose mouth was duct taped, who was holding the hostage person in the house that got lit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, you couldn't show that shot with that little girl,
they
probably.
They could do a quick cut thing, I think. Yeah. I think if they wanted to kill the daughter, they could do it. They just had to be very careful about how graphic it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think they had a good enough director to do any
that. Really?
That's fair.
Really?
I don't think they had a director.
They just, like, set a couple cameras up. They're like, whatever happens, like that.
I mean, there was some choreography in this episode, so...
So anyway,
what?
So
keep it together, Rob,
with the Tony fight.
So Eric gets an ambulance to take Rebecca to the hospital. Smits gets filled in on everything that happened. He leaves Donald behind to go see Rebecca. There's this scene of Donald in his office where he, like, takes his family photos, puts them face down, and then unlocks a secret gun he has hidden in his desk. And then Eric and Smits are at the hospital. They're working on Rebecca. Smits is acting the hell out of this. He's trying to save the show. And
he's trying to put the show on his back, but he's getting tired.
And much like the show couldn't be saved, Rebecca couldn't be saved either. And we get a silent clock this season as Rebecca is no more.
Not just a silent clock, it was just like a flatline clock.
Oh yeah.
I guess it's fair.
We don't technically not silent.
We don't get the beeps.
No beeps.
Yeah. Right. But also not a silent clock either. We can't. This show is not good enough for that.
I was reading around. Entertainment Weekly refers to it as the 14th silent clock in series history.
Entertainment Weekly should go kill itself.
Yeah.
Wow.
Entertainment Weekly is the Entertainment Weekly of online magazines.
Yes.
That is an undeniably true statement.
Yeah.
And then we get our time jump.
Oh wow!
Time jump, the most so exciting!
Unnecessary time jump I've ever seen.
What a time jump!
This entire scene, like this whole thing, could have happened right then and there.
Nothing in this time jump required a time jump.
They only did it
unless you include like traffic and travel time.
They haven't done that all season. Yeah.
I know, but I'm just
There's
saying.
No reason why this had to be 12 hours later. All they did
it doesn't like, make sense for it to be 12 hours later.
They only had to do it so they could call it 24.
It's so
or else
stupid.
It would have just been 12.
Like, you can just call 12 24 and do 12 episodes. It's fine.
But you got to cover 24 hours though. Like they already didn't care about the time, so they could have said okay. I don't know. It's super dumb.
What about this? Let's say they take out the following events occur in real time. Each episode actually takes place over 2 hours.
So it's like 2x clock speed?
Right, but like people aren't talking like this or anything. I mean...
Right.
I'm just saying...
That would be great.
I'm just saying like just all the bullshit in between is taken out. So 2 hours are compressed like, into 1 hour I think of action.
I think what they should do is if they want to do 12 episodes, they want to do 24 hours, they should just do multiple time jumps between episodes. Because lots of times where an episode ends... And it sort of makes sense to like wait 2 hours, let some things move, and then pick it back up again. And you can just do that all the time.
Instead of just the most ham-fisted approach possible, where they time jump 12 hours for no reason.
Like let's say like an episode ends and they want to start the next episode with all the characters in different places. Mm-hmm. They just do a 1 hour time jump and then like, oh, all the characters had an hour to drive to a new spot. Okay, makes sense.
Absolutely.
Like when Tony took Papa Organa to like that black site. That would have been great.
That would have been real handy. Tony gets Papa Organa. You get a 1 hour time jump. Now they're at a black site. Great. I'm much more in tune with what's happening.
You're on board. So 12 hours later.
12 hours later, there's just two real scenes to wrap up. So Smits is real sad with Rebecca. And in walks Papa Organa, who I cannot believe they brought back Papa Organa and not Isaac.
He's walking around like he didn't just get tortured yesterday.
He had 12 hours ago. He had a good 10 hours sleep. He feels great. He's refreshed. He's ready for a new day.
Ready to try to get his son to not cancel his presidential campaign.
Yeah, so you said this, and then Papa Organa also said this. Why did Jimmy Smits even let Papa Organa in his sight when he's the reason Rebecca's dead?
It's crazy. Like
not entirely.
I just
know.
I just can't see dealing with that guy right then.
No,
it's just crazy.
Not.
Like it's so
but
crazy.
But he probably is trying to lean on somebody.
That's true. It's just I don't know.
Like when your wife dies, I mean that's not an easy thing.
I imagine not.
Like, I mean, yeah, it is kind of Rebecca's fault that she was caught up in this terrorist situation, but none of this shit would have ever, like, would have even happened if it wasn't for the dad. So it's like, it's totally on him.
You never know. The terrorists aren't going to give up just because they can't get to his dad. Like, there could have been some other way.
The dad should report this to CTU.
Yeah.
So they should capture the terrorists.
How about he reports it to his daughter-in-law, who knows lots of what CTU, be like, hey, this thing has happened. I don't want to derail my son's / your husband's presidential campaign. What should I do about it? And we know Rebecca will do all kinds of shady things to keep it hush-hush and try to actually get the terrorists.
And, like, no doubt, he could have worked with her and been like, hey, these terrorists reached out to me.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
I need it on the down low because, like, there's some shady stuff my company's been doing. I don't want that to get out. And Rebecca will be like, I got it. Don't worry.
I'm not sure I trust CTU's level of, you know, efficiency, efficacy. Like, they've been so poor this whole season.
He didn't know that before the season. This was before the season.
They've been so dumb. Like,
it's horrible.
It's because Jack Bauer's not leading the pack anymore.
Gosh.
Not a single Jack Bauer reference the entire season.
Just Edgar and Tony. That's the whole...
And, like, this Tony has, like, no relation to other, like, 24 Tony.
I cannot believe there wasn't just some dumb Jack Bauer reference, like just like a photo of him or something, just something really dumb.
That'd be great if, like, in Donald Sims' office, there's, like, a framed photo of Jack Bauer.
It would be too good.
It'd be such a great little thing.
Or just, yeah, like, you know, somebody sees Eric do something cool and they're like, "Whoa, that's some Jack Bauer shit right there."
It's like in that new Independence Day movie when there's that huge photo of Will Smith in the White House.
Oh yeah,
I feel something like that. You know,
I mean, that's just like real life.
Yeah. This is like the fourth Jason Bourne movie comes out and they just don't mention Jason Bourne at all. Like, we're not going to mention it. We're just going to have some other plot line to do with something in this fake universe that has nothing like...
But, like, if you don't want to mention anything, why do you have Edgar Stiles' cousin in there?
That is... Like, the connections that they chose, the very few connections that they chose to make...
In my mind, that's the only connection to previous 24.
I cannot...
Tony,
I just said this Tony has, like, no relation to previous 24.
He's just some dude.
I can't believe when Keith tells Cousin Edgar, hey, you did good today, no one goes, Edgar would be proud.
Yeah. Whoa. That's so fucking crazy, dude. Like, they literally mentioned that shit one time. Twice. And then they never came back to it ever.
No.
Like, it was the most unnecessary detail possible.
I gotta dial it back here because I just realized something insane. You're talking about that Bourne movie, right? The one
wow.
The one where the main character's different and they don't reference Jason Bourne at all.
No, they do.
They do.
Yeah.
Nonetheless.
But I'm just saying it's like having, like, the whole movie is about Jason Bourne. Is about Jason Bourne. Like, then to have a movie, it's, like, still about Jason Bourne. He's just not in it. Whereas, like, this is 24, never mentions Jack Bauer.
What's that Bourne movie called?
I get where Max is going.
Rob?
The Bourne Legacy.
All right, so now I'm just avoiding anything called Legacy ever again.
Wow.
Sorry, I just really needed to...
That's fine.
No, that was good. That was good.
It's pretty good.
I didn't know where you were going then. Once I got there. I liked it.
Man.
So, Pop Organa's all like, yeah, it's terrible that, you know, I'm sorry that I was working with terrorists and I got your wife killed and all that, but I still want you to be president. The country needs you. And Smits is like, shut up, Dad.
And then she'd want it.
He does say she'd want it. Then he goes out.
And he's like, by the way, the side effect of you continuing to run for president is that I don't have to go to jail. Because we're going to keep that in the down low if you're still running for president.
Well, he makes it seem like he's willing to pay the price.
He said he's willing to pay the price if he drops out of the campaign, basically.
That's true.
He's like, but I'm going to be paying my own emotional price for the rest of my life. That's kind of what he said, right?
What a load of crap.
That's ridiculous.
And Smits goes out, this guy from the FBI who's like, yeah, did you know Donald Sims just committed suicide? I hear you were the last person to see him. Do you know anything about that? And Smith's all like, oh, I know. I don't know anything about that.
I mean, to be fair, he doesn't really know anything about that.
He knows a decent... Why did Donald Sims kill himself? I think Jimmy Smith knows why.
Yes.
He knows why, but he had nothing to do with it.
So I wouldn't say he had nothing to do with it.
Who pistol whipped and gave him a concussion to weaken his reasoning skills?
You know what the other crazy thing is that the Sims guy didn't even have to kill himself because they all decided to cover it up anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it's all like he didn't even have to do that.
Donald
crazy,
Sims.
Man. He should have just waited out for a day.
So why was Schmitz not even questioned for murder?
Schmitz?
Like,
season two, he might be.
Because like they were all like, oh, they're on the suicide train. But then I guess they didn't talk about the flesh wound to his head. Unless like...
he shot himself through the flesh wound, so they didn't know.
So did the guy say that he was the last person that had seen him alive?
Yeah.
Or was he just asking about when he saw him last
night? I don't know if he actually said that.
Because
he said, like, you were the last person to see him.
So he said that. I don't know if the show said that.
So he probably has a pretty good alibi, considering his wife just died, and they have a good idea of when he died.
But how does he account for all that time where he's in the office holding that guy at gunpoint?
Doesn't matter. He died, like, whatever, 12, like, 8 hours
no.
hour later. Whatever.
He died 20 minutes later. Time of death is not that specific.
Yeah. He probably
just definitely fit the timeline that Smith's popped him and then got out of there.
Where I thought this was going is that I thought that the gun that the guy was using to kill himself was the one that Smith was holding the dude at gunpoint with. And I'm like the FBI guy is going to ask him about it. And then he'd be like, well, the thing is that your fingerprints were on the gun that we found in the office or whatever. It'd be game over.
So this whole thing with the FBI guy, like, he just walks away. And it seems like it's a setup for the next episode, but obviously not. But for some reason, after that, Neela's like, yeah, so you got that call with the party to talk about you dropping out of the race. And Smith is like, I'm not dropping out. We're doing this.
Well,
why? What about the FBI guy conversation caused him to change his mind?
The only last loose end, like the only last real loose end that wasn't tied up in the situation is the director of national intelligence.
Yep.
So now that guy's dead, the only people that have to keep the secret are him and his dad.
But
right,
Smith's
and Tony
has been,
Tony. Which is insane. But like,
yeah, Aisha too.
Tony,
Aisha
like,
too is, the, like Aisha, is so, the key to everything.
So first order of business, you got to take care of both of those people. Get them taken out.
Aisha too is in the cabinet now.
Yeah, you got to deal with those people, or else it's gonna be a problem.
But isn't that, like, Smith has been set up as a very sort of honorable guy who has principles and all that stuff, and he was just like, it's not right, I can't run for president because of that. And so everything's been covered up, there's no loose ends. Seems like he would still drop out.
I think that like, you know, hey, like, Rebecca would have wanted you to live your life the way that you wanted to live your life comment probably resonated, and then that plus like, well I could actually do this because there's no more loose ends, like maybe you just kind of reconsidered it, you know,
I guess.
That's kind of what I'm chalking it up to, if you're trying to actually explain it. Like,
so, in a hypothetical season two, is Smith's president?
Yes.
Yes. Sure.
Well, depends if they want to pay him the big bucks.
Right. Like, I'm not sure if he's got that, like, you know, Anthony Hopkins Westworld deal, or, like, what the deal is, but...
I guess Rebecca got the Anthony Hopkins Westworld deal.
Yeah, I guess
Spoilers
so.
Spoilers for Westworld.
Oh, shit. Maybe. It's Westworld. Who fucking knows?
Who knows? Yeah, he could come back as a robot.
100%. Even worse spoilers.
Oh, my God.
Anyway. So is it that Smith is president, and then this Donald Sims thing is a plot line in season two that it comes back?
It's never coming
I'm
back.
I'm telling you.
Why did they have that scene? Did so that scene
just to wrap it up?
Just so that Smiths knew that that last loose end was tied up.
That's
because,
true.
Because it made him okay. It made it okay for him to make that decision to keep running for president, I think. Which is like, they didn't even need, the only reason that they had to turn him around like that is because they thought that there might be a season two where he'd be president, or else there was no reason to have his character just turn around like that at the end.
That's fair.
Like, it's just crazy.
The ending of this is all, you know, we don't know what we want to do for season two. That's it. Like, they're like, he can be president, he cannot be president. We can have Eric Carter, we can not have Eric Carter.
we can have Edgar's cousin, we could not have Edgar's cousin. Who knows?
I have a question for the historian.
Yes.
Of all the presidents we've seen on 24, what percentage of them have made it through, like, 4 to 8 years without dying?
8 years?
Who has made it through a term without dying?
David Palmer made it through a term without dying. And then,
well,
he died in the run.
So then there's been presidents that had to resign in disgrace and didn't die.
Sure.
Does that count? If you don't make it through a term, but you just resign in disgrace.
That counts.
Okay, then it's like 4 or 5.
Wow.
The last season's definitely.
Like, Heller didn't die. He was just going crazy.
Oh, no, he definitely died.
He definitely did not die.
Where'd he die?
He didn't die.
Wait, last season?
Yeah.
Live Another Day?
Didn't he get fucking bombed?
No.
No, they pulled a speed. It was a fake out. He lived.
What?
Oh, my God.
So, another
go
question.
Go back to the podcast.
Is this the first season of 24 where we actually don't meet the president?
Season one of original 24, you don't meet the president either.
Oh, darn it. Okay.
You just have David Palmer.
Yeah,
who's
who
not
running.
President yet.
He's no, he
which,
was
like, part of the thing that made Jack the badass that he was over time is because, like, president, like, he was, like, he's the guy that the president turns to when they need the business taken care of. And he knows that he has, like that the president has his back
but to be
in
fair,
those situations.
So, to be fair, I'm going to actually defend 24 Legs in one thing. That was set up in season one that he had a relationship with David Palmer.
No question.
When David Palmer became president, it kept going.
No question.
And now, they did not a very good job of setting up Carter and Smith's having that kind of relationship. But if they do a season two, they're definitely going to be like, oh, yeah, Carter and Smith's are like this.
Like, they're literally pulling, like is literally just season one, 24 again. Like,
yeah.
Everything is just season one, 24
but
again.
But it's so much worse.
But it's so much worse.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Well, so let's see. Aisha's not. No, Aisha didn't. Or
no, Aisha's died.
Yeah, Aisha
no
didn't
Aishas
die.
No, Aishas were hurt. No,
Aisha but, was hurt, just not. Not
right, but like said, Jack Bauer's wife died on the in season one, right?
So yeah, Rebecca is the equivalent of that for this season.
Okay.
Which, yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing that gives Smith's character motivation, though, not Eric Carter. Eric Carter doesn't give a shit.
But like, Jack didn't really get motivation from his wife dying. He kind of wanted to
die. He kind of got demotivated.
Like, yeah. I mean, I feel like Eric had a pretty good relationship with Rebecca, though, I guess.
Eric did have a good relationship with Rebecca.
That
segues into the very last scene, which is Eric and Nicole are both back at CTU. For some reason, it took 12 hours to debrief Eric, and Nicole's still hanging out at CTU.
No. So the way that I read the situation was that... The way that I read the situation is insane, so it's probably not what it was, but is that Nicole was still, like, being held at CTU or hanging out at CTU, because that's kind of where we left her last. And then Eric was now coming into CTU 12 hours later to start his debrief.
Right. Where's Eric been for 12 hours?
I think
hours?
He's been at home sleeping, and now he's coming into CTU to get Nicole in debrief.
There's
that's insane.
There's a 0% chance that he went home first.
I know. He went to the hospital.
Where the fuck was he?
He was at the hospital with Smith
for 12 hours.
I guess
That's insane, dude. There's no way he was there for 12 hours.
No, you have to treat like bullet wounds and stuff. Like,
no,
he's definitely there for like a good bit of time.
Yeah. He's treating bullet wounds. He is debriefing.
Eric Carter was injured.
Yeah, he had his hand completely bandaged and his shoulder too.
His shoulder got fucked.
He had a lot of injuries that he wasn't that did not slow him down that much.
Yeah.
Do you remember early in the season he was hit by a car?
Oh my god. Yeah. Oh yeah.
No, when did that happen?
I don't remember. It happened at some point.
Gosh.
So the Eric Nicole scene is actually super nuts because so Eric asks what we're all wondering, where's Isaac? And Nicole's like, Isaac had to go deal with some business. Seems to be by himself for a bit.
He defined Aisha.
I guess he did. And so the first shock is that Nicole forgives Eric. And Eric's like, I gotta be CT. I've been lying to you. I need this in my life. CT is where I gotta be. And so from first, Nicole's like, sure, okay, let's make this work. Then Eric's like, no, what are you doing?
And then he's like, ooh, are you sure about that? Like, like he was hoping that she was gonna be like, all right, cool.
He was all ready to have Isaac take her away and be like,
He wants to get all those honeypot missions.
It's definitely what that reaction seemed like. It seemed like he was
100%.
Trying to ditch her, and then she was like, no, I decided I'm cool with your CTU life. He's like, are you sure? Are you sure that that's...
He wants all those honeypot missions, man.
Very weird.
That would have been the point where Eric Carter holds up a picture of Jack Bauer and like longingly looks at it.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. Puts it on her face.
So then Eric kind of comes around a little bit and he's like,
okay, and then they kiss.
Like, okay, cool.
And then they have this amazing shot of Keith judging them while they're kissing, which made no sense.
Well, because Keith was waiting for that debrief. He's like, ooh, I know you're just seeing it for the first time. We got to get this debrief going. Clock's ticking. Everyone involved is dead, but clock's ticking. So then they walk out of the room.
So Nicole and Eric walk out of the room. Eric goes off with Keith. And there's just this long shot of Nicole. And the season ends.
And then, the season ends Bloop. On this Bloop. door just closing. Bloop. Eric Carter, right?
Eric goes in the door.
Yeah.
Which said it was room 420.
Room 420.
But then ooh, it's like a 3-second shot of Nicole. And you're just watching Nicole, and then that's how it ends. So it's like Nicole's the emotional anchor we're going to season two on. It's like, what?
It's unbelievable.
When the thing ended, I've seen a season finale so bad in quite some time.
Like, the last scene is, like, it's got to be the worst last scene I think I've ever seen. It's so bad.
When that clock came on, everyone was like, is that the end of the season?
And then it was hilarious how the reaction of the room was great. Of, like, that cannot be the end of the series.
Like, what? They don't set up season two? They do nothing?
They set up Smits, and then Eric's in with CTU, even though he's done nothing to show he's a good CTU agent.
Do you think he's going to be able to get a job there?
They apparently love him.
Gosh.
He's got a reference from Rebecca, even though she's dead. They'll be like, oh, okay.
And the guy running for president.
Smits. Yeah.
Whoever's name is.
Today. What happened to the guy Keith choked out last episode?
He's gone. Like, he just walked out.
Is he cool with everything? Like, what happened?
Who did you choke out again?
Doesn't matter.
Vince Masuka. Yeah, he's just out. maybe he's like just dead in his office. And Nicole's also there.
That's what I want to be the Blu-ray special feature is what happened to Vince Masuka when he comes to.
Oh gosh.
See what happened was the head of CTU, what was his name?
Keith.
He calls Tony up. I got a job for you. I need you to take care of this body.
Oh man.
So when the episode ended, we started talking about the infamous, terrible season finales. So there's Dexter's up there. The last episode of Lost is up there. Are there any other ones we want to throw out?
Maybe How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, is that a bad one?
Really bad finales?
Polarizing. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be series finales. It can be season finales.
I'm not sure I'm right on this, but I'm going to say Twin Peaks season 2 finale.
I haven't seen it, but...
Okay.
It's too bad 24 Legacy doesn't have more viewers, because I think it would be up there.
Yeah.
Everyone's just going to forget the show ever happened, but...
Oh, yeah.
So, I was looking on Reddit while we were conversing here for a minute, and apparently they call Eric Black Bauer.
On Reddit?
On R24.
Ooh.
Which I thought was pretty funny. And then the second thing I noticed was a comment that said, how does Two-Face murder people when he's got one eye and he's like 80? Like, how does he like give this direct headshot?
That was a hell of a shot. One eye through like some shelves or something, like a fence.
And serious gun control. He fired multiple shots.
It's crazy. That dude's real old.
He's a pro terrorist. He knows what he's doing.
He's a pro.
If he was pro, he would have actually gotten the job done. Not pro.
Maybe that's where
he did get the job done. What do you mean?
I guess he killed her in the end. Yeah,
he didn't kill Black Bauer, but
he still didn't save Nasir though.
Jeez,
he lost a little bit.
No, yeah, he killed Nasir himself.
Yeah, but like that wasn't part of the plan.
No, he wanted to kill him. That was on purpose.
Oh yeah, he definitely wanted to kill that guy. He ruined his whole execution.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, is there any doubt this is the worst season of 24?
Not really. Like, the only other one you could consider would be season 6, the Wayne Palmer season.
Wayne.
But that season still had some pretty good moments.
But there was 24 episodes, so there's like longer suffering. So like, I feel like you got to take that into consideration.
I can't imagine if this season was 24 episodes.
Oh my god.
This podcast would not have lasted.
I feel after 8 episodes, we were like, only 4 more. We can get through this.
Yeah.
If we were only halfway through, oh boy.
Oh.
Be well, rough. There was there was serious time, but it was like episode 9 or 10. I'm like.
So, it's in season 6. I remember I'm watching on Monday nights, there was Heroes season 1, Prison Break season 2, and 24 season 6. And I could not believe that, like, if I DVR all 3, 24 was the one I wanted to watch the least.
Yep.
And I was like, this used to be like my number one show. I can't believe I'm like so disinterested in this show. If I had Heroes season 1, Prison Break season 2, and 24 Legacy, I don't think I watched 24 Legacy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no doubt.
I mean, you watch the first like 3 or 4 and they slowly just stop.
I guess.
I feel like if this was 24 season 6, there would not have been a 24 season 7.
Maybe.
It's hard to say. Because like season 6 was weak, but then they came back really strong with season 7. And they had a good base to build
off. There's no way, you know, when 24 was the top of its game, the ratings, like network TV ratings, were much higher than they are today.
Oh, that's true.
So there's no way this show doesn't take a huge dive.
But the other thing with 24 is 24 season 5 won the Emmy for best drama.
Yeah.
That was the best show on TV. And so it had that pedigree to hold on to. 24 Legacy is not winning any awards.
It's not maybe the best show in anything.
Though we could do some end of season awards right now if we wanted to.
Ooh, we should. I think we also need to check in on some wagers as well.
Do you want to do the end of season awards first or the wagers first?
What about I feel like drink we have to do week. Kill of the week first.
Oh, yeah.
We already said what kill of the week was. All right.
Well, we mentioned it when it came up. It was just clearly the shot from Tony.
Tony taking out nameless woman guard person.
Yeah.
There were a couple of candidates. Like in some other weeks, like Two-Face taking out Nasir and Rebecca might have been, you know, a good contender.
Yep. I feel like that's a contender.
Nicole breaking Eric's heart that she still wants to be his wife also was kind of a deep cut.
The ultimate kill.
What about the long kill with Papa Organa and Rebecca?
Oh.
That was a long kill.
That could be the season long kill week.
You have the self-murder of that dude. I don't know if we can count that one.
That was off-screen.
I guess that's fair.
There's Eric taking out the red shirts with Tony and Aisha, too.
Yep.
I mean, we're all pretty clear. Tony is the one on this one.
I think my vote's on Tony.
I liked that agent getting shot. Is that the one we're talking about?
Which what? One?
That agent.
The woman agent.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Just want to make sure.
Actually, that reminds me. Max, what's our drink of the week this week?
The drink of the week this week is not Jack.
Oh.
It is primarily Cutty Sark.
Cutty Sark whiskey, which has been sitting in Harrison's freezer for 2.5 years.
Since 24, live another day.
Wow. In honor of Cat Stark.
Theme drink. Didn't make this episode any better.
Although it was not bad.
Yeah.
All right, let's segue from Kill of the Week to Kill of the Season.
Kill of the Season. That's going to be a tough one.
24.
Yeah.
It killed the show.
The show.
24. I got to go with Max on this one.
Yeah.
I don't think
it was so bad.
I don't think there was a good enough kill to get Kill of the Season.
Well, I think there's two contenders. Well, there's three contenders. There's 24 the show. There's Amira killing Mr. Insanity.
Oh, man.
And there's Isaac and the Shotgun.
I feel like Amira and Professor Science was pretty great.
I don't know. I really like that Shotgun.
Shotgun really was good.
I'm going to vote for the Shotgun, runner-up 24.
Yeah. I mean, I think the 24 beats all of these. But.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but I think is there official we can't have 24? But 24 will be our runner-up?
Sure.
Even though it really is. We don't know if it's killed it, though. The ratings aren't that bad.
So, this is going to come up when we talk about the bets, but I checked today. There's still no official word if it's canceled or not. And the ratings predictor site still have it as like a close call, but leaning towards renewed based on Fox's ratings.
Please do not renew. Are you kidding me?
So, I mean, if they actually did renew it, I actually have a little bit of hope. I think that then Fox would be like, okay, let's hire some better writers. Let's hire a better director. Let's actually make something of this.
Brian, your hope is so like heartwarming.
I know. Man.
We love your hope here, Brian.
I mean, it's true that there are definitely shows that take a season to kind of find their footing. I just don't know if this is one of those shows.
I mean, most pilots are pretty bad, like you just said. Like, I can only think of like
most pilots are bad.
Yeah.
There's a lot of not great first seasons of shows.
Sure.
I mean, but this isn't a sitcom. This is
sure like,
the first season of a drama that is bad. What? No.
I guess.
But like, in recent memory, is there a show that had a bad first season and came back? Like that was a thing back in the day when shows had longer time to find a thing. Like,
well, when there
I feel
was
now
less stuff on.
There's what?
When there was less stuff on.
Less stuff on. Yeah, I feel like now if you don't nail the first season, you're done.
It's definitely tougher. Yeah. For sure.
I feel like Parks and Rec isn't that old, but that first season was pretty rough.
I would agree.
Definitely different from the rest.
Yeah, sitcom. I could probably name a couple, but yeah.
Yeah, a sitcom is definitely like, you know, can find its legs, but like a drama, if that it doesn't just skyrocket and then slowly dwindle, like that just doesn't happen.
I believe the word you're looking for was footing.
Foot. Fitting.
Footing.
I know. I got it.
All right.
So, yeah.
I don't know.
Right. Brian, do you have a vote for Kill of the Season?
24 is out, we said.
If you can't count 24.
24 is our runner-up.
I want to say the bridge scene, too.
To be fair, I don't know if you're on that episode, but the bridge scene didn't win Kill of the Week.
Oh.
So we considered it. But that week, we gave it to America killing Professor Insanity.
So it could still be a top three kill, but that was just a stacked episode.
That was a stacked episode.
Yeah.
Like, there were a couple stacked episodes. There were a lot of episodes where like, I guess this one's Kill of the Week.
Yeah. So I forgot that it happened. I thought that happened in the previous episode.
I feel like the one that wasn't a kill, but should have been a kill, was the Insanity High School, like, the guy that fell on his head.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. We gave it Kill of the Week, and then he wasn't dead.
That was rough.
Well, then when Amira that actually killed him?
Amira killed him later, yeah.
She put something in his IV or something.
Bubble, yeah.
Bubble.
All right, what's our favorite plot line of the season?
Wait, did we actually vote for Kill of the Week? Or Kill of the Season?
I don't know.
Well, I voted for the shotgun.
24.
No, you voted for Professor Insanity.
We know what I voted for.
Okay. Two votes for Professor Insanity.
I'm voting for the shotgun.
So you gotta get this tiebreaker here.
You know, I'm gonna go for the shotgun.
There you go.
Ooh.
Isaac.
The thing about the shotgun is that I remember like the act of him like walking in and with that shotgun. But I don't think I even saw the guy that he shot, and I don't know who it was.
We went back to the tape. We saw him. Like he got off multiple shotgun blasts.
He shot someone.
But it was a red shirt.
But it was just of no consequence.
That is true.
That's all I'll say about that one.
I mean, the hosts have spoken.
Okay.
I guess we can go over who won the Mole Watch game, which was Max.
Max won?
Max is the only one that scored any points.
Didn't Harrison score points?
I thought I scored points for something. Didn't I?
I'm pretty sure Max was the only one that scored points.
I remember Harrison scoring like a half point, and then there being a big debate over whether Max scored any points. So I didn't know if Max ever actually scored any points.
Oh, I remember that debate, yeah.
So if Max scored no points...
I thought that we were going to give him like half points or something.
Half points?
So if there's half point, maybe it's a tie between Harrison and Max.
I'm trying to remember what I got my half point for.
I don't remember what you got your half point for.
I got the Molochs. Here we go. Harrison...
Oh, I remember.
What was it?
It was... I think it was like one of the terrorist guys that was the mole on the terrorists or something.
Oh, reverse mole.
The reverse mole or something.
Oh.
Right? You had the terrorist scout one week.
The terrorist scout. I think I got some kind of credit for that. I can't remember why, but.
The Max had Uncle Organa, I think, at one point.
At some
no,
point.
No.
Man, he never showed up again.
You had like the party head, I think is what you got points for.
Who's the party head?
Like the head of the Democratic Party.
I don't remember.
They never really specify.
Why would you get points for that?
I forget. All right, never mind. We'll have to go back to the tape.
Man, I really went all in that Theo pick, and it just never really panned out.
To be fair, like they did Papa Organa real early before we even really knew who he was.
Wasn't
like,
that all in one episode?
I was shocked that he was actually Jimmy Smits's dad. And
like, what?
And then the only other mole was a character that was introduced the episode he became a mole.
Yeah.
So they didn't really give us a lot of chance
to
win. So I guess we'll give a co-victory to Harrison and Max for Mole Watch.
Yay.
All right. Good work.
All right. Well, what's our best plot line for the season?
Do you even need to ask?
Well, because I'm going to have a follow-up question.
It's obviously Insanity High School. It's
I like think not that, even close. I mean, so Insanity High School is great. I also like Isaac plus gang, The Wire. I mean,
there's no way that was as good as Insanity High School.
No way.
What is
hey,
wrong
man,
with
I'm
you?
Just telling you that Isaac elevates all the scenes that he's in.
I feel right. like if you like, want an Isaac plotline, it's clearly the Isaac, Nicole, Eric plotline.
I just don't. I don't want to be involved with any Eric plotlines. The problem.
So Harrison, here's the thing.
Yeah,
there are at least like two or three episodes straight where Isaac was nowhere to be seen in the Wire town. It was just Aisha and random dude and
yeah.
Nicole.
And it was horrible.
Yeah.
For sure. That's definitely true.
And that's part of the Isaac and the game
plot line. Oh, no. It's horrible. Okay.
What's our worst plot line? So I feel this one is a lot more
competition.
The Eric yeah. plot line.
Yeah. It's got to be the Eric plot line.
Eric more than Aisha?
Aisha was entertaining to hate on.
I mean, that was a kind of little side plot line. I feel like that wasn't a main plot line.
It definitely wasn't a main plot line, but
it was like a sub part of Nicole's plot line. So I guess we could talk about Nicole's plot line maybe as being like just like her journey through the show. I felt was not super interesting.
Yeah,
no. I like how they set her up in the first episode to be like this badass female. Like, she takes out the guy in her house and then does freaking nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, I know. They definitely served her better in the early couple episodes, and then it was downhill.
So, I mean, I guess it's kind of easier to think of it as which people's, like, story, like each individual character's story. Since they all kind of interweave, it's hard to, call them.
I got a take for you.
Yeah.
The Black Site.
I was going to say Black Site.
Black Site, yeah, it's horrible.
Tony fucking Almeida. The dumbest thing, like, it had the highest,
They finally bring back Tony. They got all the good characters. They got Rebecca, they got Smits, they got everything, and it was so bad.
All the acting horsepower on the show.
And, like, we've been waiting all season. They could have given us a really mediocre plot line for Tony, and we would have been all in, like, finally Tony's here. And it was so bad, we were just like, get Tony off the screen.
But the thing is, like, I think this was most disappointing. Like, everything else was worse.
That's true.
It was so boring.
But what's you got to pick? If you had to pick one plot line to be your worst plot line, what would you pick?
The Eric one. There wasn't that much of the Black Site. It was just like, okay, we're torturing Papa Organa.
The whole show. Because Eric's plot line is the whole
thing. Yeah.
Eric's plot line is not the whole show, but it's a big part of the show.
I mean, I just meant every episode had an Eric plot line.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true.
And each part of it.
I think that Senator Organa's plotline is probably one of the best ones in the season.
No doubt.
I mean, like I think that like the most interesting stuff happens to him. Doesn't hurt.
He's
the best actor. Like even the chunk of time where he's at the Insanity Black Site is the best part of the Insanity Black Site situation.
There's no good part of Insanity
because
Black
you
Site.
Just cannot believe that this presidential candidate is at a black site watching his father being tortured. It's just such a crazy situation. I mean, it's not good, but, you know, interesting.
All right, so Eric plotline it is.
I think based on the votes, I think Eric plotline wins. So let's just do one more. And this is a tough one. Who is your 24 Legacy Season 1 MVP?
Really?
Oh, boy.
I can do three nominees if you want me to narrow it down.
Aisha? No, not Aisha. What's Insanity High School?
Amira.
Amira. MVP.
My most valuable professor would be Professor Insanity.
That was Dr. Insanity.
No, totally Professor Insanity.
He's had a lot of names.
It was Mr. Insanity.
It's Mr. Science, I thought.
You okay, Max? Do you got to take the Cuddy Sark away from you?
Was it Professor Science?
I think it was Professor
Every
Science.
Name you said is a name we called him. That's the thing. Every episode we gave him a different name. So I think Amira is one of the candidates. I think the other two you can throw out there are Isaac and Smits.
Yeah.
And I think Amira is the first half MVP, but how much do you take it away from her that she's not in any of the second half of the season?
Oh, that's a positive. That's a positive.
But like, it hurts the show that the thing we thought was the most interesting is gone.
Well, how do you find most valuable then? Because, I mean, she actually got stuff done.
Yeah, she actually completed her goal, which I don't think anyone else in the show really did.
And she busted her ass to get a pretty hard plan done, it seemed like.
Yeah.
I mean, she was blackmailing people. She was having sex with science professors. Professors of science.
I mean, that was maybe one of the most risque things that Fox showed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The other thing with her is, I think it's fair to say she's the only character that really had like a character development arc kind of thing going on.
Oh yeah.
Cause like you kind of think she's one thing and then kind of changes and her dad comes in. Like unlike almost every other character, you actually kind of care what's happening with her.
I mean, Eric actually like, you know, looked inside himself and was like, I want to be the worst CTU agent ever. Never get anything done.
I want to be the very worst, like no one ever was.
So my vote is for Amira, just because that's when the show was good. But my second vote probably would be for Schmitty.
Yeah, I think that I'm going to go with Smits, runner-up, Isaac, honorable mention Amira. It's probably how I'm going to go with it.
I don't think we need that many votes. There shouldn't be anywhere close to...
Hey, I'm giving them to you.
Two MVPs.
Give the three medals.
There you go.
Brian, what do you say?
I'm going to go with Amira. She got it done. I mean, Schmitz was putting the entire show on his back, but he was playing a real loosey-goosey in that office.
Loosey-goosey.
Like,
I feel like the show was on his back, and now his back is broken.
Yeah, pretty much.
Rough. So, all right. Congrats, Amira, our official.
What did Max and.
Max gave a whole bunch of things.
Professor Science.
Yeah. Professor Science.
/ I just don't give a shit anymore.
Rob, did you give your vote?
I vote for Amira.
Okay. Yes. Amira.
So, I also, as I was listening to the episodes we put out there, I was tallying our actual bets from the season. Brian put it out there that we should do more. Bets, and we don't really do it that often. We mostly just say throw out ideas and then we move on.
Yeah,
so there's a couple though where there's a clear, like, someone's like, I'll bet $1, and then someone else says yes.
Okay.
So I'm doing these in reverse chronological order.
Cool.
So there was a bet that Jadala's dad is dead, he doesn't re-enter the plot line. I said no, the dad was alive, and Harrison said
shit.
The dad was dead.
Shit.
So Harrison owes me $1.
Okay.
Now there's one I'm not sure about, where after we did that, Max said, I want to get in on this. The dad is dead, and he has a will that says the son needs to carry on his legacy. So I don't know if that one should count or not. So Max, if you want to give me $1, you can. But if not, that's okay too. We can just let that one slide.
I seem to remember at some point I Venmo'd you $1 in the past month.
We will get to that.
Okay.
It's another bet you've lost.
So bet number two. Isaac will die before the end of the season.
Ooh, boy.
Brian said no, and I said yes.
Oh!
Wow.
So I owe Brian $1 for that one.
We definitely have to do more bets.
Yeah, I know. This is good. So the next one is a TBD, and I'm interested in, will 24 Legacy be renewed for season 2? Chris has no. Brian's riding for yes.
Wow.
Here we go. Brian.
Sorry,
so
Brian.
We'll keep an eye on that one.
I mean, no, he said that like it's supposed... It's TBD. Probably happening, or possibly happening. Like, higher probability, yes and no.
We'll see.
We'll yeah.
see. It's, I'll call it 50-50.
Okay.
Then we have, will Aisha return to be part of the Nicole plotline? Brian said no. Harrison said yes.
Shit. No, I was really Brian hoping that one was going to come back around.
He keeps winning.
So it's another dollar.
As I remember, Brian kept on saying, hey, guys, let's make a bunch of crazy bets and then taking the likely side of these bets.
That's a smart move.
Smart move.
Then we had a bet, will we see Tony past episode 9? And I said yes, and Max said no. That's Max already Venmo'd me $1 for that one.
Nice.
Then the last one is a bet from all the way back in episode 2. And the terms was not a dollar.
Uh-oh.
The terms were $24 and someone does a shot live on the podcast.
Oh, wow.
Here we go.
This is huge.
So here we go. And I got our Jimdala Bean Khalid right here.
Oh, man.
The bet was, will we see Chloe O'Brien in 24 Legacy Season 1? Now we know the answer is no. The winner is Max Stradamus, and the loser is Harrison.
Oh, are you kidding me? How did they not bring Chloe in the second half to save the ratings of this
because
show?
Because they had Edgar Sal's cousin.
They had all the star power they needed with Edgar Sal's cousin. All
right, Harrison.
All right.
So Harrison, you don't need to worry about the $24 because 24 is worthless now.
Oh, hey, I'm going to give you those 24 bucks, but I got the shot right here, though.
Yeah. Go for the shot. He did it. Woo! Yeah.
Here you go.
All right.
Man of his word here.
Thank you, sir.
Wow. All
right.
I'm kind of surprised that there weren't... It was really only Tony and Edgar's cousin.
Yeah,
so that was nuts.
I can't believe it.
I really thought when Smith said he was going to meet with the party, they were setting it up for some really interesting reveal of who that was going to be.
Why even bother calling it 24 Legacy if you're not going to do a bunch of fan servicey shit in it? Doesn't make any sense.
Well, the
built-in audience.
There's an argument to be made that if they don't look backwards too much, they're like, we want to break from what we were doing before
and
do something new, it's better. But they also didn't do that either.
Right.
Yeah, they kind of were like, we're going to do that. But then they brought in Tony Almeida, but we're still going to kind of do that. But it's Tony Almeida.
They didn't do it. Like, we talked about this in the very first episode. When you do a reboot kind of thing, how much do you make it the same and how much do you try to make it different? They made it too much the same. They didn't do enough things to make it different. Well, and if you're going to be the same, then what Harrison's saying, you steer into it, you bring back other characters and stuff like that.
The problem is, if they're going to reboot it, then just reboot it. Like it's still attached in the same universe with all the same stuff happening that of original 24, but it's just...
Well,
it's super
weird.
It's
like Star Wars The Force Awakens, but, you know, without bringing back any characters from, the original Star Wars.
The Force Awakens is pretty good.
Like,
so I don't think it's like The Force
Awakens.
No, I'm just saying, Star Wars Force Awakens really digs into, you know, A New Hope. It's like the same movie as A New Hope, but it brings back characters. It makes it better. Whereas this is the complete opposite.
Literally, with 24 Legacy, they tried to run the Star Wars Episode 7 playbook and just failed at it, basically.
Miserable.
Is what it seemed like to me. It's like they basically create a plot line to introduce a whole new set of characters to kind of fill the old character's role, set it in a plot that's roughly the same as the first entry in this thing.
Yeah.
Except they didn't do enough fan servicey stuff to old 24 to satisfy those people while you're launching and building up the new people. And it's just I feel like you needed some of that stuff to kind of bridge the gap.
Like what The Force Awakens did, outside of just being a similar plot line, is they did a lot of work to make the new main characters really interesting.
Right.
Rey, Finn, and Kylo Ren were super interesting characters. They spent a lot of time in the first half developing them.
Yep.
24 Legacy, outside of Insanity High School, had no interesting characters. Maybe Isaac.
Well,
I feel like
they just had to introduce so many characters that they just didn't spend any time developing them.
Well, we spent all season with Eric, and we know nothing about
him. He hasn't developed at all.
The only growth that he has been when the season started, he had a secret desire to join CTU, and now he has a public desire to join CTU. That is it.
Even though his record is pretty shitty.
No one seems to admit his record is bad, though. Everyone's
and the
great
person that was offering him a job is dead now. So
Keith is in. Keith is all.
Keith? Yeah. We'll see.
All right.
Chief Keef.
What else do we got to talk about?
Oh, man.
I don't know.
There's a very good chance this is our very last David Palmer Presidential Library podcast.
Wow. It's been a ride.
Maybe
it's really a lot to take in right now.
Maybe we should watch Dark City.
Dark City? Oh, my gosh.
Bring Kiefer back? Just start podcasting old seasons of 24?
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's podcast something good now.
Yeah.
Like reality television.
Max, do you know any good reality television podcasts people should subscribe to?
Yeah, who put the presidential library on?
Max is so good at plugs.
Max is good at plugs.
No, there is a great podcast called Who Put This On that you can follow on Twitter at Who Put This On or at Facebook at Who Put This On.
There you go.
It's slash. It's not an at.
Okay, Chris, you take care of it from here on out.
Well, people got it.
That's why Max isn't the host.
There you go.
Sorry, Max. All right.
Brian, you have any closing thoughts on this?
Thank God this is over. Not the podcast, but the show.
I definitely had fun doing the podcast. The show, not so great.
Yeah.
We should watch something better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'd love to say we'd be back for season two, but
what would it take any of you to watch another season of 24?
We've said what it's going to take.
JB.
Not Jack?
No, not. Or, well, there's Jack. There's also MB, Mark Boudreau.
Oh, big booty.
Big booty coming back could bring us in.
Bringing that Tate Donovan.
If we have Smits as president, Tate Donovan back in at chief of staff, we're looking great. We're looking real solid.
Put that
on the air.
They bring back Chloe Bananas.
I think you're mixing up some shows. if they announced season two was Tony and Chloe are trying to figure out where Jack is in Russia, we'd probably watch that.
Yeah.
No, yeah. If it's a totally different show, we'd watch it for sure.
I feel like that would have to be 24 season 10.
Yeah, that's not what. Yeah.
That wouldn't be 24 Legacy season 2.
They had stupid Eric helping them out and stuff
Yeah, they can bring in Eric, I guess.
I don't. Yeah, that's not happening.
What if it was. Okay. What if it was Eric, Tony, and Chloe hunting Jack down?
Sure. I think we're in.
You're in.
If anything,
Smits is president.
What if it was
Booty? Yeah, run the show on the staff.
What if it was Isaac, Tony, and Chloe hunting Jack down?
We're obviously more in. I think Isaac's out of season two.
If I they think do a he season is too.
I think season two
if
is
I was
Eric,
Isaac,
Nicole,
I'm not
and Smits.
The actor for Isaac, I'm not coming back.
For sure.
It's a steady paycheck, you know?
I mean, I feel like that dude should be able to get better work than 24 Legacy.
He was good.
He can go and be like, you saw 24 Legacy, you saw how it was the only good thing in that show besides Smits. He needs a scene with Smits. He needs to go head-to-head with Smits and like raise his game.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, he has some good scenes for his reel, I think.
Do you think
this?
His reel is just that shotgun strut.
Goosh. For action movies. Goosh.
Do you think that Schmitz is even going to come back for season two? Like, if I was him, I wouldn't be coming back.
I bet if there is a season two, he's involved.
Like, Fox is going to have to open up their checkbook for that. Like, he's not coming back.
They wouldn't have set the
like, they might already have him under contract for another season. Like, that's what we don't know. I don't know the details of his contract.
Yeah, I don't
they
know
just
the
wouldn't have
contract.
Set up like him changing his mind about running for president the way they did unless he was going to be president in season
they
two.
They don't know what they're going to do for season
two. I guess we're leaving it open.
But like, if they have Smits under contract, you figure out a way to use Smits. Like, you've got clearly your best actor. You're like, you don't say, we don't need him in the next season. You're like, you find a way to keep him involved.
I hope he has like a ratings out. If you don't get over a one, then like average over the season.
They probably just canceled that. Like, probably it's like if they do a season two, he's in. If they decide they don't want to pay him, they just cancel it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Poor Smits.
I got nothing. It's my final comment on this show. I want to see this real time idea apply to other genres and other types of shows. I don't think we've taken a long enough break, And I think that they actually need to put effort into the show. The show feels like zero effort, and people should feel ashamed that there was no effort put.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's definitely no effort put into the real-time part of it.
It's not even the real-time part. The writing, the acting, everything about this show.
But like, if you were saying you want a real-time show, like, this show is not a real-time show.
I agree. But that's...
I mean, I definitely believe that the people involved in the show were trying to make a good show, but I just don't think that they gave them enough money to make a good show. Like, it just seems like they just cheaped out kind of anywhere they could, and it just didn't come together.
I don't know what the problem is, whether the showrunner just was bad.
Right.
The writers were just bad, and the showrunner just didn't have money or something to go help and fix it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's all the acting. I blame a lot on the behind the scenes.
It's definitely a writing problem, number one.
Yeah, it has to be, I think.
Like, I can even deal with bad CGI throughout the whole thing. That would be great. That'd be a little funny, whatever.
It doesn't matter. I have no problems with the way that they shot the show or any of that kind of stuff. Like, that stuff's fine. Yeah. You know, like, it's the writing, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
All writing, all the time.
Because I know Eric is a better actor than what he showed in this.
Yeah, he was great.
He was trying to act real hard, too.
Straight Outta Compton, he was great.
He just had nothing to work with.
No, it's true.
Smits was acting his ass off whenever he could, trying to squeeze every last drop out of that thing.
Smits is definitely more of a veteran actor. Yeah, so, like, it's for easier sure. for him to, like, try and hold up the show, and Eric just isn't, you know, that doesn't have that experience.
Do you think that when Smits was on set shooting this thing, he just knew that, like, he's like, I'm gonna have to step up on this one? Like, what do you think?
I mean, I think he thought that, and then it shows, but it wasn't enough.
Then again, like, the kind of show this is, there's a lot of scenes where he's not there.
For sure.
So maybe he's like, oh, I'm killing it. My scenes must be going great. Everyone else's scenes, I'm sure, are also going great. This is awesome. Then he actually sees the episode. He's like, oh my God.
It's definitely hard to tell sometimes when you're on set how the thing's going to turn out.
Yeah. Like, except for the guy who played Eric, you're not, there's more plot lines you're not involved in at all than you are involved in.
You're probably not even reading all the scripts either. And no. Like,
do you think he even watches the show? Like, I know a lot of actors don't even watch what they're in.
Smits gets someone tell him, how's it doing? And they're like,
you're the best thing.
I bet that he watched this show. I bet he watched it. I bet he listened to this podcast.
Got Smits.
Hey, Smitsy.
Smits, if you listen to this podcast, we love you. We will definitely bring the podcast out of retirement to talk to you.
If you want
to
do an interview, we're all ears.
Jimmy Smits and the Chris Lorenz one-on-one.
Oh, wow.
That's what everyone's waiting for.
All right. This podcast is currently at 1 hour, 28 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I think we got to kill it.
It's the last one ever, Max. We're trying to savor the moment.
I'm not savoring any of this.
We're just doing final comments here, Max. We're going to get it done.
Okay.
All right.
You got Rob, any more final comments?
Rob and Harrison are the ones that have it. Max's final comment is kill it.
So. Kill it with fire.
Well, it was kind of exciting that they tried to bring 24 back, but this just wasn't good 24, and if this is what's going to be, they should just kill it.
Right. I mean, and I definitely agree with that. I mean, I was sad that they kind of ended it after Live Another Day, but I was okay with how they left the thing.
Like, Live Another Day was like going out on a solid note.
I didn't feel like they needed to crack it open again. When I heard that they were, I was interested to see how it was, but I wasn't like, ooh, this is going to be awesome without Jack Bauer.
Well, Fox, you know, is hurting a little bit, I think. They don't have a really good...
That's the drama department.
The only reason why we're not sure the show's canceled is because Fox is doing so bad.
Because, like, Fox doesn't have, like, any scripted shows because they obviously don't spend any money on it. So, you know, they don't get any viewership. And as reality shows, I to assume that they've peaked. And they don't have American Idol anymore.
That's rough.
Yeah, well.
It's a rough network.
Do better, Fox.
Kill the season. Fox.
Oh.
Fox definitely gets to kill the season.
Yeah.
For killing 24.
For getting killed.
All right, guys. If you want to continue listening to us, please listen to Who Put This On. It's great. We've got lots of more better shows that we watch.
Oh, yeah.
Chris will be angry at the shows, though, so you won't lose that. Don't worry about
Chris
it.
Chris Mosley doesn't like the other shows we watch in this other show either.
Right, but he loves to hate on them.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best part.
And we love listening to the hate.
Whoa. There's some shows I like.
That's true.
You know, Married at First Sight, you know. Great show. Decent show.
Chris was in on the challenge.
The challenge was decent. I've watched multiple episodes.
Wow. Which is like surprising.
Very surprising.
That's stunning.
Stunning.
Stunning. All right, Max, you got any plugs over there?
Yeah, I'd like to plug not watching 24 Legacy. If you're listening to this episode, it might be too late, but just wanted to plug it. Did I say listening to 24 Legacy or watching 24 Legacy?
You're probably doing
something
else. I think
you meant to say listening to the David Palmer Presidential Library.
Oh, I would recommend listening to the David Palmer Presidential Library over watching 24 Legacy.
Yes.
Brian, you got any plugs?
Absolutely not.
Rob?
I got nothing.
Harrison?
You can follow me on Twitter at Harrison Hoffman. And yeah, I'd like to echo what Chris said. We'd love to see you guys over on Who Put This On. Come continue the journey into TV with us.
The great journey. You can follow me on Twitter at the Chris Lorenz. And sayonara.
P.S. If there is some sort of Jack Bauer 24 situation, we might be back. Who knows?
I mean, we don't really know if this is the end, but...
And that's how you leave the door open.
Right.
To be continued.
For another season.
We just wrote a better ending than they did. All right. Should I kill it?
Adios.
Adios.